Welcome to the Organizational Transformation Kung Fu Podcast with your hosts, Sandy Varecchia and Jennifer Long.
Here we go.
On values.
On values.
Welcome to the next Organizational Transformation Kung Fu Podcast, or as we like to call it, OT Kung Fu. I'm Sandy Varecchia, and I'm here with my podcast teammate, Jennifer Long. I'm here in Toronto, Canada, and Jen's located in Colorado. Hey, Jen.
Hey, Sandy. How's it going?
Oh, great today. How are you?
I am really good.
So the name of our podcast symbolizes the need for organizations to have the patience and the energy for change to take root. And during our podcast, we like to share our thoughts and ideas around the concepts that we deal with our clients on a daily basis. So with that in mind, I thought today that maybe we could talk about core values. What do you think, Jen?
I think that's a great idea.
Excellent. So let's start with, what are core values?
Core values. Every organization has them on a coffee mug or a poster somewhere.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. But they are the cornerstone of a company's culture, wouldn't you say?
They should be, yes. That's what they're intended to do.
Yes, and that's right. So they can't be motherhood, right? So we can't just create them with what we think we should have as values. They really have to be something that you can stand at the test of time, and they could be really part of our organization.
Right, right. I think sometimes folks struggle with that, right? They're visible, but they're invisible in some ways.
Yeah. I think a really good example of that was Enron. Back in 2000, and I use Enron as a poster child as to why we do so much around governance today. Mm. But their values that they put in their annual report were communication, respect, integrity, and excellence.
Mm. So how'd that work for them?
Not well, not well. So truly, they were meaningless. There was something, as you said, on a poster, on a wall, on a coffee mug. And as an organization, they weren't part of their root system.
Right. So when you talk about like the whole meaning, right, in the root system, there's this quote from Harvard that I love when it comes to when you think about what values are meant to do, right? And so they have a saying that says, when properly practiced, values inflict pain. They make some employees feel like outcasts. They limit an organization's strategic and operational freedom and constrain the behavior of its people. They leave executives open to heavy criticism for even minor violations, and they demand vigilance.
Wow.
Yeah, right. So it's not just let's make better decisions, right? So when we talk about why do we have values, and we can talk a little bit more about that, but I love the fact that they're looking at values as part of the cultural disinfectant, right? Mm-hmm. That if you're really utilizing and leveraging your values, they hurt, but you end up being a lot stronger because you make tough decisions,
right,
using those values as well as just your basic business decisions.
Yeah. And what I find, and I probably even do this in my business, is that I don't always use the values as my litmus test as to what I'm going to do.
Right? Yeah.
Whereas we should. It should be, do our values align with this decision?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because it's very much about the culture that you're trying to build and the company and how that culture is going to support where you're headed as an organization and how you roll, right? They're all tied together.
Yeah. And so it has to be a guide.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do a lot of the kind of the values work and things like that. And when I'm doing strategic planning, and people don't want to spend a whole lot of time on values because they feel that they spent their time and they're done.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question I always have is, how does what we're doing today support the values that you have? So I always flip it.
Yeah.
I always do that at the end rather than the beginning.
Mm.
To say, like, everything that we talked about, do the values that we have today, are they really going to support where we want to take the organization?
Exactly. Because if you don't deal with them, they become the afterthought in a bad way, right?
Yeah. There is, so I think guiding decisions, guiding organizations, that's all super important when it comes to values. And they have to be real. And I think sometimes we go about creating values based on our own personal values, but they don't translate well into the organizational values.
Well, right. And I think some companies go through this values thing because they want the posters to look good, right? Mm-hmm. They want how they show up in public, like it's part of their brand.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not part of the brand at all in that sense. Values are very internal facing.
Right. Right. But how bad would it be to have a horrible value on your wall? If you're the price cutting, monster or something like that,
right.
You can't have that on there, but it might be something that you actually do value as an organization.
Right.
But you have to put something that's nice and pretty on the wall.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So there was an article by Jim Collins called Aligning Action, and values. And he discussed values can't be set. You have to discover them. So you have to really go through a process to pick out those core values that kind of align with the organization. They aren't one size fits all. Mm. And we really need to think about what they are in terms of your organization and not the industry. So you really can't look next door, see what their values are and steal them because they may not align.
Right. 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 And when you look at, I think values are kind of, this discovery process has gotten really clever and really creative. And a lot of companies go through different kinds of exercises to discover, because I think that the C team feels a certain way about what the organization wants to be from the values perspective. Mm-hmm. But when you really get into the conversations deeper in the organization, you discover other things.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. There's one exercise that I like to use that Jim Collins actually introduced. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called the Mars Group Exercise.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Super simple, right?
Yep.
You get a group of people together that are high performers, that are kind of live what you think the values are of the organization, and you ask them a bunch of questions. You get them to brainstorm about what they believe to be the values, and then you ask questions about those values, and one by one, it's your test to say, are they a true value or something that you think that you should have on your wall? And so you gather up all these values, and then you ask questions like, are the core values that you hold to be fundamental regardless of whether or not they are awarded?
Right.
So yes or no. If you woke up tomorrow morning with enough money to retire for the rest of your life, would you continue to hold on to these core values?
Oh, interesting, right? These are this always facilitates some interesting discussions.
Yeah, right? Because you can sit here today and espouse something, but really, if you had to hold it for the rest of your life, that's a very, very different question.
Right.
Right. Number three is, can you envision these values being valid 100 years from now as they are today? Can they are they the test of time?
Right.
And would you want the organization to continue to hold on to these values, even if at some point they became a competitive disadvantage? So your point earlier about your quote is, if it's painful, would you still hold on to it? Or would it be the first thing that went?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when they're painful, they're easy to ignore.
Yeah, for sure. And the last one, and so the last three are really important ones because they help you make the critical distinction between core values and strategies. The last question, number five, is if you were to start a new organization tomorrow in a different line of work, would you build the core values into this new organization regardless of its activities? So do they stay with you?
Right.
Or are they fundamental or kind of aligned to an organization or business type as opposed to a value that's ingrained?
Right. Right. And it's interesting when you talk about the business, right? And how the business can really, what you do can really impact how people think about what's important, right? So when we talk about a value, let's just talk about that for a second. Cause I, when I talk to folks about, why are they making the decisions they're making, and everybody every day makes decisions based on beliefs and values. And I think the thing to understand is that values are what's important. And values, your personal values are what's important to you. The organizational values are all about what's important to the organization versus beliefs, which is what you hold to be true. Because everybody's truth is a little bit different.
Right.
And so when you get into the whole conversation about alignment around values, is do we all think the same things are important? And in organizations, this is where you start to discover that what's important at the C-level or upper management may not be the same thing that's important to frontline or individual contributors. And they're right. having a whole other experience in your organization that is different. And so the example that I'll share is I did a whole values project with a large manufacturer. And the values conversations with the hourly workforce were very different. It was like talking to two different companies. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, those folks are living paycheck to paycheck. And they are, so what was important for them was very shoulder to shoulder, was very immediate. And as opposed to the upper management conversations, which were very much about organizational mission and bigger ideas and things of this nature. So it became very interesting when you have the conversation to say, well, how do you want to bridge that? Because you have a whole work population who sees this part of decision making and what's important and how things should be held, some different perspectives versus where. So that was an interesting project because they've got to create a bridge there and be able to distill what's important for everyone.
So they must have known that there was a disconnect for to bring you in to do those values.
Yeah. Work. Well, and they've had the same values they've been around a long time. And so they've never, you know, it's been a long time since they've really kind of stood out of it and go, is this still important?
Okay.
And they've got some management principles that they operate by that have become values.
Interesting.
Right. So that it's the stuff that they talk about all the time around quality, cost, and schedule that have become the de facto values, because that's right. really where all their decision-making lives, not in integrity and honesty and all the big words, which are sort of the, look, if you're going to be in business, you should have that crap anyway. Why are you putting that on your wall?
Right, right. But it's interesting. So Patrick Lencioni in his book, The Advantage, talks about that. He talks about true values versus aspirational values versus unintended values.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like what you've stumbled upon is those unintended values that have just morphed within the organization.
Right, right. That look, whether or not you want these as values, they are.
Right, right.
Because all of you operate in that framework.
Interesting. Oftentimes the unintended values are negative values, right?
Yes.
And so that's when Patrick's talking about them, it's interesting. There's a couple of things there. One is that values that you kind of started out saying that they shouldn't change, but they do change over time.
They do change over time.
Organizations get larger, mm-hmm. New people, all that sort of thing. It's not going to be a yearly change. You're not going to go through your values yearly, but over time they will morph.
Right. As you grow, right? So as you get substantially bigger, things do get different and what's important gets different.
Right. But talking about those unintended ones it's a really good test to say, are the ones that we're actually living, are they actually good or healthy values, or are mm-hmm. they unhealthy? So if we're actually, and I use that cost cutting, if we're in that cost cutting mode and that's how you're operating, but that's not a value of yours, it might just be an unintended value that's kind of crept in. Whereas Walmart, they would, you know, they would lovingly say that's where they sit, right? That's, they want to bring low cost prices to everybody.
Right.
So, but a lot of organizations, that's not where their core value is, but they may work in that environment. And so you have to be careful that it's a slippery slope, that it doesn't become, as you say, an organizational business practice.
Well, right. So it when you look at how people are promoted, who moves into the, right. If like my manufacturer has tons and tons of engineers, right. So there's a lot of introverts. So maybe introversion becomes this kind of unspoken, unstated, accidental value because, you know, we don't want anybody in leadership who's too out there.
Interesting. Yeah. You know, the other thing that came up for me when I was thinking about this earlier today was sales. Mm. So I've done a kind of work around bullying and things like that. And it always comes up and people say, well, you know, it was the sales manager that is bullying me and nobody will do anything because, you know, sales is this rock, right? That's so important. And there's this intentional value around sales being so incredibly important that they're untouchable.
God, so many sales organizations have that, right? They're kind of the divas of the group, like, you know, do my bidding because I'm the rainmaker.
Yeah.
And because they do make the money, management looks the other way. This is where the values don't get applied, right? So then when you don't use, you know, teamwork, for example, as the value, and you allow your salespeople to steamroll everybody else, which is not a good team behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you're not using it as the astringent you should, right?
Yeah.
Because even though they're making the money, that doesn't give them a pass on being a jerk.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it happens.
All the time. All the time.
I think the other one that we didn't really talk about, so we talked about true, we talked about unintended or accidental, but what about the aspirational values? Mm. So those values that, and I'll use myself as an example, in my business, I'm not a very, when I started the business, I probably wasn't really good at putting things out to clients that were beautiful and polished and professional looking, right? Mm-hmm. I just kind of did my work.
Right.
And so I have an aspirational value around kind of elevating the professionalism of what I deliver.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's not a true value, but it's out there, you know?
Right. Right. So it starts to become one that you start to pay attention to,
mm-hmm.
right? Or this is what we should be paying attention to that we're not. And those are really good the aspirational values, I think, are the best because that's the target, right? Those are the kinds of decisions we should be making. And when we allow ourselves to let the business run us as opposed to running the business, that's mm-hmm. when we don't make those decisions, or we ignore, oh yeah, that's important. And we allow it not to be.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So good. So we talked a little bit about those different sort of those values and types of values, and we talked a little bit about whether values can change. So mm-hmm. I'm curious, with your manufacturing example, like, when did they know that they had to kind of do this little update? Like, when is the timing right?
Change in leadership.
Mm.
And I think they're also at a pivotal point. Things are changing in the market. Things are changing in how they're doing business. They've got some significant organizational pivoting to do to stay current, to reinvest in themselves, to be able to maintain. You know, they're at that point where they're kind of setting themselves up for the next 100, right? They've been around a very long time. And so they're like, okay, we've got to really do some internal investment to position ourselves to remain competitive. And so I think because they're at that point, that's when they're like, what used to be important may not be important now. And I think also the change in how business gets done, right? The mm-hmm. influx of new mindset into the workforce, what they're looking for, also sort of speaks to why you'd want to reevaluate what's important, because you're looking at a different kind of workforce demand, you know, the flexibility, the remote work possibilities, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff that becomes important. So then that kind of change how you roll, right? And because I think interesting for a manufacturer, teamwork was never on their list of 10 values.
Really? Is it now?
It is. I think it is now.
Yeah.
But, you know, and shortening the list as well, right? Yeah. Sometimes you've got too many.
That's because we want to be everything, right?
I want to be all this stuff. And it's like, yeah. I'm sort of like, if you can't remember it drunk at a bar, how important was it really?
Yeah. And so, you know, it must have been a little difficult for, if we kind of follow through on that example, when they were hiring. Mm-hmm. So they're hiring this new group of people, but if they were hiring based on their old values, there would be a disconnect.
Right.
And so they may have thrown, you know, not hired people because there was a disconnect, yet taking the time to reevaluate those values can then allow them to think differently about the type of people that they need to hire, who's mm-hmm. going to assimilate better into the culture.
Right. Right. Quicker. Well, and I think, you know, when you go through that new evaluation, that it's hard for sometimes for people to let go of certain aspects of it and recognize that this is not the same company I hired into. This is, you know, so they're kind of interesting conversations when you start to have them to be brave and say, this is a culture shift and this is what we want to do. And because it asks management then at that point to, these are the conversations you have to start having that you haven't been having.
Right. And they're hard conversations because then it becomes about fit.
Right.
You know, I know in banking industry, that's been a big one from the shift from a service culture to a sales culture. And you've had people that have worked in banks for 25 years that said, oh, I was never hired to be sales.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so when you talk about what the core values are, their values were very much about service mm-hmm. and servant leadership. And it's morphing. And so they don't fit. And so what do we do with those people? And that's about hard choices on both sides for the person and for the organization.
Yeah. And it's sort of that I think with value shifts come training shifts, come coaching shifts, come, you know, let's really stand back and what does this mean for you? And what does this mean with how you deal with your people? Where are you not having conversations around this new value that you really, really should be?
Right.
And helping them get there, because I think leaving them out there without any kind of support or exploration to what that impact really is and what it should be. Otherwise, it's just language. It's just vocabulary for somebody this is important. But that's why I think when you're going through organizational shift or growth or change, that it can so easily just be the unintended values.
Yeah.
If you're not intentional about how you want to look at your culture.
Yeah. Do you think though, Jen, that your organizations talk values enough?
No.
I don't think so either.
I think it comes up very infrequently.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about, you know, they talk strategies and all the buzzwords, you know, everybody's mm-hmm. pivoting, all that sort of stuff nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't think that we bring it down to the fundamentals of values enough.
No, because, and it's interesting too, because like when you know, I do so much in managing performance and going back to the key choice point for everybody is always based on value, belief mm-hmm. and value. And those are everyday conversations, because those are the counseling and conflict conversations that you have to say, when you chose to do that, help me understand what you were thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to have that open conversation and say, well, you know, I prioritize this over this. Okay. So I understand that, but how does that really reflect based on what the values are for this, you know, for this team?
Right.
And as a manager, that value, that question should be definitely lined up to the larger organizational value. And that's a values conversation in the moment on a day-to-day level mm-hmm. of performance.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I had that almost that exact conversation with a client the other day, and she's having tremendous difficulty with this one employee.
Mm-hmm.
The employee is very competent, but I said to her at one point, the value that you see that this brings is not the same value that she thinks it is. And there's a misalignment. And I said, you need to talk about that. You need to talk about how she's measuring that value.
Right.
And how you're measuring that value. And she's like, oh, yeah. If they've had the same conversation 100 times.
100 times, but it's like, look, we have a conflict of value.
Yeah.
Here's what's important. And as your manager, this is how it rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in conflict of that. So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Why do you want to hold on to that? And the interesting thing about conflict, right, is, and I think this is why it can get so difficult, is when people value something and they value it differently than the organization or the manager, it's really about, how hard is it to change somebody's values?
Very.
Right? That's why it's about fit. That's why it's about duration, because it becomes, the question then is, well, if you're going to continue to make the decisions you are based on that, long-term, this isn't going to work.
Right. Right. So something has to give.
Right.
But then it puts people at choice. And mm-hmm. that's what I said to this client. I said, you know, you have to have this conversation. You're never going to get past this unless you open it up to kind of past your paradigm.
Right.
Give her something, things to talk about and think about. And so I'm curious to see how she did on that conversation and the next time I talk to her. But
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, it's values are a daily conversation.
Mm-hmm.
When we were talking about doing this whole podcast on values, I found a bunch of questions. So when you think about what makes a good value, versus what's sort of, you know, I love Lencioni's thing about pay to play, right? There's a whole pile of values out there that I think most people lean into that are just like, look, if you're human, you should have that. If you're going to be in business, you should have that. Why are we putting that on a poster, right? So that whole honesty, integrity list, it's kind of the no duh list, right? Why are we doing that? So then I was like, so what makes a good value? And so some of the information there is it memorable? Right.
So your point about being able to remember it in the bar.
Right. If you're drunk at a bar, do you remember the values for your organization? Can you repeat what that is and extrapolate on it? Right. Because it's just a word. But what does it mean?
Yeah.
Can it be repeated consistently by everyone? Does everyone know it? Right. Is it too long? Are there too many of them? Right. So sometimes I think people put these values and then they put this thought with it. And then it clouds what you're really trying to say.
Yeah.
So keep it simple, right? And really, how many do you need? What's a good number, right?
Is there a number?
I don't know. There isn't a number, but I will tell you, 10 is too many. So I think you need to be somewhere between 5 and 7 at the most.
Yeah.
But I would lean toward 5 as a good number. Because you have 5 fingers. You could remember it at the bar. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
There you go.
In one Simple. Hand. This is a one that I really like. Is it actionable? Is it, you know, just is it philosophy or is it something you can actually do? Can team members describe how these values guide their actions, right? So.
Yeah. What does it mean to me?
Is it put into play? And how do they know how they do it? Are they unique to the organizational beliefs or just platitudes? Is the leadership team passionate about them?
And are they living it? I would say that's the other thing. Are they actually living it and showing up every day, living these values? Because it has to come from the top.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Is it part of the daily culture? It's got to be more than a tool. Is it more than a tool just to attract the best talent, right? It's not the front door. It's not the facade, right? We're not doing the Wizard of Oz. Are they used as part of employee goal setting and performance measurement?
Right.
Right. Are you having the conversations about how employees are performing, which we talked about a little bit? Are they part of both marketing and sales goals?
Interesting.
Right. That is interesting. Are they connected to both the mission and vision? Are they visibly integrated into the way we do business? And does our customer's experience align with them?
That's a huge one. I think that's a whole other podcast.
Right?
Absolutely.
How's the customer really experiencing you?
Yeah.
Right. Because I think that is a huge litmus test and indicator of are you even on mark with what your values really are.
Right. Yeah. What do they see?
Right. So I think those are some good questions to consider as you go forth on your day going into the job. Really, what are you valuing? And when was the last time you talked to your team about it?
Yeah. So aligning it from the top, living it from the top, making sure that they're still relevant, you know, revisiting them periodically, not too much, but periodically when there's shifts that are fundamental shifts to the organization.
Right.
Making sure that unintended negative values haven't crept in as part of who we are.
Right.
Keeping them real.
Right. Right.
Being able to make them memorable, keeping them real, and making sure that as you're hiring on your new employees, that they align to your value shift. We can always train them on their skills and their competencies, but that whole hiring for fit.
Right. They should amplify how you're able to do your best work.
Yeah. So that's great. Anything else, Jen?
No, that's it, listeners. That's, I think, as much as we can tell you about that. So hopefully you're thinking about your own set of values, your corporate values, when the last time you looked at them was. I will tell you, I've done a couple of presentations and I've said to people, hey, what are your values? And people look at me like deer in headlights. Mm. Like, well, I'll say, what are your corporate values? I want to incorporate them in it. And they're like, oh, I have no idea.
I have to go back into the server and find them.
That's a big litmus test right there. If no one knows what they are, it's time to revisit.
Yes. Good work. Excellent. Well, it's a pleasure as always, Jen. And I look forward to our next podcast. And I'm not sure what we're going to cover then, but we'll figure it out in the meantime.
All right. Enjoy.
Bye. Take care.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening, and please visit Sandy's website at satoriconsultinginc.ca. That's SATORI consultinginc.ca, and Jen's website at managementpossible.com. Thanks again.